Welcome back to The Takeaway, bringing you coverage, of course, of Hamas rocket attacks on Israel and the Israeli response and escalating shelling of cities and towns in Gaza. But north of Israel, violence rages on as well. Listen. That sound there coming from Syria and the looting of a military office there as the conflict between President Bashar al-Assad and rebels aligned against him drags on. That conflict has been raging for some 20 months now, and recent estimates put the death toll there at more than 37,000 people. Well, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton says the United States and its allies are standing behind the new Syrian opposition coalition.
We agreed today that the formation of the new Syrian opposition coalition is an important step forward and will help us better target our assistance.
But Nicholas Kristof, columnist for our partner, The New York Times, thinks we should be doing more. Nicholas just returned from Syria. Nicholas, welcome back to The Takeaway.
Thank you, Todd.
You write in The New York Times that the men are vanishing from Aleppo. What did you mean?
Well, you go through northern Syria, and there are these informal camps that have been set up, and it is just horrifying how many families you see where it is women looking after children, and the men have been arrested or killed or in some cases are fighters. I was particularly referring in that case to one family that just kind of embodied that, a woman who a week earlier was living this nice middle-class existence in Aleppo, and then a bomb destroyed her house, and then a couple of days later, her husband vanished, and she doesn't know whether he was hit by a sniper or arrested or killed by a bomb, but all of a sudden now she's living in a tent with her kids as a single mom, and her life has been turned completely upside down.
And you have evidence that this is replicated thousands of times over throughout the country, stories like this.
Yeah, or at least certainly I talked over and over and over to families that went through this same kind of experience. I don't have evidence in the sense of a population survey, but it's what you hear again and again. I mean, there are snipers, for example, in Aleppo, who clearly disproportionately target men, and they target basically any man they see in some neighborhoods. I came across one story of a man who had been shot, and he was lying in the street injured, and his friends just found it was too dangerous to rush out and pull him into a building, and it took him 2 days to die. And you hear stories like that over and over.
And so all of this, Nick Kristof, begs for international intervention, and we all know that that has been slow or absent. What about concerns here in the West? And we even have heard President Obama mention, and Secretary Hillary Clinton mention this on one or two occasions, the concern that Islamic militants are among the people we would like to think of as freedom fighters. It's very unclear there who's on whose side.
That's a legitimate concern, and the Free Syrian Army is an umbrella group, including a lot of disparate groups of fighters, some of whom commit human rights abuses, some of whom have a militant Islamist agenda. But if our intention in refusing to get engaged was to prevent strengthening some of those elements, we've actually had the opposite effect. Our failure to get involved has left the ordinary Syrians disillusioned with the West, and in fact embracing some of these jihadi fighters, because they're actually the ones who are going in to help.
And there has to be a concern if and when the Free Syrian Army or affiliated groups are victorious in Syria and Assad is out, that the local population will feel a lot more loyalty and affection for those fighters than they ever would for the United States.
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, look, Syria is a hard place to intervene. It's much harder than Libya was for a million reasons. And there are genuine, legitimate concerns about everything that might go wrong. But I'm afraid that there are also enormous, legitimate concerns about the hands-off policy that we've taken. And indeed, this failure to really do anything much other than talk has led to precisely the consequences that we feared, destabilizing the entire region, radicalization of the population and growing sectarian tensions, and indeed strengthening the most militant Islamist elements.
So at the same time, Nick Kristof, you advocate in your piece for the establishment of a no-fly zone in northern Syria. You're not the first to do so. Are there any indications that NATO or other institutions, presumably NATO in the West, are even considering this as a possibility as the violence just drags on and on in Syria?
You get the sense that there is a growing frustration with the way it is dragging on, a sense that a stalemate is not in anybody's interest, and that without something like a no-fly zone, Assad may remain in power for a long time to come. Turkey is, I think, certainly pushing for something like a no-fly zone or a protection zone in northern Syria. And I think other countries are indeed increasingly willing to take steps like that. Some of the Free Syrian Army rebels would like to have just be given an anti-aircraft capability themselves, but that is something that I think the West is not likely to do and probably shouldn't, just because we don't want to give anti-aircraft missiles to people who might then pass them on in the free market to other people.
It has to be disappointing to you, Nick, having traveled throughout Africa and Sudan and written about it and brought these things to the eyes of the world, and now in Syria, that there's essentially a consensus in Washington and among its allies to right now do not much.
Yeah, it is pretty heartbreaking to travel around in Syria. And, there is at this moment a huge compassion fatigue. And in America and in Europe, people say, look, we've got enormous problems of our own and we should look after ourselves first. I understand that attitude, but I think it's important to note here that it's not only the humanitarian crisis that is escalating, but also a political crisis that is getting worse because of our failure to get involved. And ultimately, you can't have a Somalia emerge in the heart of the Middle East. That will get us engaged. We've learned what happens when we just avert our eyes from problems like Afghanistan. And there is some risk that Syria could turn into another Afghanistan.
Nicholas Kristof from our partner, The New York Times, just returned from a trip to Syria. You can see video and reports with Nick in Syria on our website at thetakeaway.org.
The Takeaway is supported by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and the Henry Luce Foundation for increased understanding of East and Southeast Asia, and the Rockefeller Foundation, whose transportation initiative is promoting equitable and sustainable development in communities across the country. More at rockfound.org.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here? And maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.